Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, pulling back that curtain, calling a spade, exposing waste, fraud, abuse, and police misconduct, and now conspiracy theories, apparently. Welcome to the Hostile Zone. I am your humble correspondent, Eric Andrew Sinani. Eric A. Sinani, real big, strong A. Eric Sinani, right here coming at you on the Hostile Zone yet another evening, either on your FM dial, on iHeartRadio, on satellite, or if you're watching on your TV, on whatever cable provider you have. And if you're not getting the show, folks, call your cable provider and say, I want Sinani on my TV, especially since we're launching our new show less than a month from now. So, welcome to the show. As always, I thank you all because you are the reason we are as successful as we are, and we can't do it without you. I would have no purpose here, and my executive producer who left her mic on and is like screaming in my ear is without you folks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Miss Bianca CSEA, like the ocean, is not here again this evening. Not quite sure her return, but we're going to move forward because that's really not what the show's about. So, if you are watching the show on your TV screen, you'll see the nice little ticker on the bottom of the screen. It tells you the content for today's conversation. It also tells you how you can become part of the show. Yes, you folks, I'm looking right in the camera. You can be part of the show. You can email thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com. thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com or eric@thehostilezone.com. eric@thehostilezone.com. You can get Miss Bianca C if she comes back at some point when she's done. Bianca C at bbstalkradio.com. Bianca C, S-E-A, like the ocean. Or and you always can get me at eric@ericandrewsinati.com. Because I'm looking out for you. I'm here every day, all night. You reach out to me, you're going to get a response at some point. Not immediately, because I get like 1,000 emails, but I promise I do try my best to look at it. Welcome to the show today. We got an interesting show lined up, Rod. Don't we, Carrie? Or maybe not.
I can't talk with the mic off.
Well, you got to be fast with the buttons, Carrie. Come on. What kind of... you're like... You're the big executive producer. Maybe I should control your volume and your mic on my end.
There you go.
So it is. It's a good conversation today. Honestly, yesterday we discussed conspiracy theories. Now we discussed yesterday. I don't want people to get confused. We discussed conspiracy theories yesterday on social media, et cetera, and how it is really not the best thing. And it leads to problems, and you don't know what's true and what's not. Here today, we're going to talk about, and here it is. I don't really know if it's a conspiracy theory. I'm going to call it an alleged conspiracy theory. We're going to talk about the UFO phenomenon, unveiling the truth. Now, apparently, right off the bat, the truth is they're not UFOs because you know the government. Just like an old stale sandwich, they replace the bread, keep the crappy meat, fresh bread, and they package it out. It's now a UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomenon. So apparently we can't use UFO anymore. So there we go. But we are going to talk about it because you know what, folks? This is very important stuff. Maybe you want to think it's a conspiracy theory or not, but What we're going to present to you today is maybe stuff you know, maybe stuff you didn't know. Maybe I'm going to spark a little interest in you to do a little research. Now, they call like a ufologist, and I believe that's actually a real word now. But, you know, I have an interest in it like a lot of people. But we're not going to play it as a conspiracy here. I'm going to tell you what we know and what I personally know and what I've come to see. And I've talked to some people, and we're going to talk about that. Opening monologue, folks. Welcome to another thrilling episode of The Hostile One. It's always thrilling, right? We have a great time, right? Yeah, we do. We always have a great time. So tonight, we're going to venture into the unknown. We're going to uncover one of the most controversial, mysterious topics of all time. And I think UFOs or UAPs kind of goes along, and help me out here, Gary, kind of goes along with like the whole question about it, life after death. Is there a God, right? It's one of those things that your mind just can't compress. You know, you're just like, it's just too much. You know, so at least for me, I think. What do you think?
Well, like everybody says, we're stupid if we think we're the only ones here.
I 100% agree with you. I think if anybody, and you're out there in Arizona, and I've been out there several times in Nevada as well. And I love that area. The stars are amazing out there. So you just have to look up at the stars and say, what kind of fool am I if I truly believe that I am that great, that there's just me and all of them stars mean nothing, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And even the way that nature works, you know, and that's not what we're talking about today, but just the fact the way our bodies work and what it does, like somebody had to design that. It had to come from somewhere. It just didn't pop out of nowhere. So I kind of feel like this is a similar kind of thing, but we're not here to blow up your mind. We're not here to scare anybody. We're not here to spread any false information. We're going to talk about literally what's going on. So I can tell you that the government officially repackaged it, and it is known as UAPs. And we're talking more. We used to talk more about like this, the phenomenon in the sky. Now we're talking about extraterrestrial life. Yes, though, life, like biological, like biologics, like something that is alive and that can die. That's what we're talking about. Which takes us up, that's a lot further than just looking at something in the sky and saying, what is that? You have to question and ask yourself, are there extraterrestrials walking among us as we speak? Are they visiting us continuously? Are they a welcomed guest? Is our government and other governments that are working with us, or maybe not, are we communicating and working together, or are we having a rift, an argument? I don't know. I can say, and it's not in my notes, well, sort of. Actually, it is. I typed it. If you look at the time frame, and Carrie, this is perfect for you, because where were you when we went to the moon? Do you remember that? I'm sure you remember where you were at that point, right? It's one of those experiences you can't forget.
I think I was in grade school or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like for me, like when the Challenger shuttle blew up. I'll never forget that day. I know exactly what grade I was in. I know the name of my teacher. I know who I was sitting next to. I remember everything. 9/11, I'll never forget. So I'm assuming that was like for you. So if you look at the rapid growth of what we can do and what we know now, I mean, compared to what then, it just exponentially skyrocketed. I don't think that the human brain grew that much. Gary, did you know that the iPhone, not just the 15, I think they said the iPhone 7 or 8 is actually more powerful than all the computers they used to get to the moon. Did you know that?
Well, that would make sense.
I mean, is that crazy? So we are holding in our hands I mean, obviously, you don't go outside, folks, and think you're going to hold this and go up to space. It's not. You got to say that because there's always some person out there, loony bin, that's going to be like, oh, Sonati said I could go to the moon if I take my iPhone outside.
Maybe they have like, one of those phasers, you know, from Star Trek.
Oh, you like the beam me up, Scotty thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. that's I'm another sorry. Conspiracy theory. You know, it's funny you said that. Actually, I'm glad you said that. And I want to go off on that with you for a second. All of that stuff seems so far out there. But does it really seem so far out there anymore now? Now that you're older and the world has changed? When we have computers that can communicate with us as our friend, people have intimate relationships with AI chatbots. I mean, it's insane. And it's true. I mean, this is the problem in our country. So if you look at the short amount of years, I mean, so what you're like the beam me up, Scotty, what was that from actually?
You remember? Star Trek.
Star Trek?
Were
you a Trekkie?
No, I like to watch Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, everybody had something. Like, I'm embarrassed, folks, to say I've never watched Star Trek and I'm going to get booed. I never watched Star Wars either. I kind of did, but I didn't like it. I was all into Rocky and that's, I don't know, but I do love space. I got to get a telescope. We need a sponsor. Find me, if you're out there, telescope company, get me a telescope and we'll hook you up. A good one. I want one of those ones with the computer in it. So this way I don't have to like try to find it on my, I can like actually program it and move it. I'm serious. I really want one of those. Kerry, mark that down. Let's get a telescope company. Anyway, so, it's almost already we're having a good time with the conversation, but we're going to get like really serious in a second here. So the government is now formally recognizing this. Now, the government had been recognizing this for years. We had Project Blue Book, which was a highly classified program where they were actually studying these things. Right now we're on FM in Roswell, Mexico. So if you're listening to the show right now, you're in Roswell, Mexico. You clearly know something happened there. What was his name? Jesse something. God, Jesse. No company. Jesse was the Army Air Corps guy that actually picked up the pieces right after, and then they made him give it away, and then he miraculously changed and said, "Oh, it was a weather balloon," but he never said that before. Anyway, we are on the air FM 99.9 in Roswell. So you guys should enjoy this episode. Is it a government cover up? Is the government not telling us for what? For our own good? For a nefarious reason? Because they're doing something we don't know about? I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Carrie?
It's so hard to tell because there's got to be something out there and you don't know what it is.
You got these whistleblowers coming out with crazy credentials. You know what I mean? Like just crazy credentials and crazy experience, giving up their careers and ruining their life. And, you know, we all know what the government does. This is like textbook intelligence process and law enforcement does it as well. Disinformation. We talk about it on the show all the time. Disinformation. What do they got to do? When somebody comes forward and they have something and they have a good voice, people hear them and people are drawn to you because you have like a magnetic, charismatic personality and you're obviously intelligent, whatever, and you're saying some people are drawn to you. So what's the first thing the government's going to do? Ruin your credibility. So that way, whatever it is that you say, even if they're drawn to you, they're like, oh, this guy's crazy. But everything is not always as it seems. Trust me. Everything is not always as it seems. And some of the best things are done right in your face. Remember that. So there's so much to talk about on this. But I want to say one statement with what I just said about the advancement of our technological advancement. From the fact that it took our iPhone is now stronger than what was used to get to the moon, you have to say, well, that was in 1960s, we're not that far away from that. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of years, but if you look at the history of the world, forget, but we're just going to take the United States. If you go back to 1776, that's a lot of years. And they didn't have anything. We had nothing really. They didn't have phones going on. They were on horse and buggy. And then all of a sudden, this Roswell incident occurs. And 10 years later, we have jets, jet propulsion, things flying in the sky. If you don't know what the SR-71 is, folks, it is one of the most fascinating plane jets. It's I don't even know what you would want to call it, because it is still, to this day, the fastest, we'll just call it a jet, the fastest jet in the world that we know of. Now, the U.S. government says, and oh, by the way, SR-71 stands for Strategic Reconnaissance and then 71. So the purpose of that was it would fly about 90 to 95,000 feet, which is at the curvature of the Earth. So these gentlemen had to wear space suits to fly in this thing, and it flew around 3,000 miles an hour. And this was back in the late 50s, and we don't, it may have even been earlier than that. The government, you know, whenever you like read a poll or the government tells you this, it's kind of like, here it is. I'm going to, Carrie, get ready, get the microphone. You're going to like this one. I'm going to bring this for everybody. When the government tells you that the plane goes, the jet goes 90,000 feet or and it goes 3,000 miles an hour, that is the equivalent of when you ask your girlfriend or boyfriend how many people they slept with. You always got to times the number by two. Right, Carrie?
Well, you're going out on funny.
Your... Wasn't that great? That was good, right? It's a little fun in here, right? No FCC violation there. But no, truthfully, honestly, though, no one's going to, you know, honestly, you're on your date with somebody. You're not going to tell them what it is. So the government's not going to tell, not because maybe they don't want us to know, but they don't want our allies to know, our enemies to know, bad actors. So if they're saying this thing did 90,000 feet, it probably did 100. And if it did, if it went roughly 3,000, it probably does 4,000 or more. Now, it's a great looking plane too. If you can get one up on the screen at some point, Carrie, that'd be great. SR-71 Blackbird. So it actually like literally just did amazing things. And the point is that if you go from 1776 and you're talking 100 plus years, and then from 1950s, 60s to here, look at what we have. Very short window, we gain a lot of stuff. Just in the recent time, AI, artificial intelligence, is doing crazy things that we never thought would happen. So you have to just ask yourself, just like my executive producer, Carrie, just said, what is wrong with you? You look up at the sky, you know something's there. Something was there. So from the Pentagon's latest reviews and whistleblowers, one of my favorite whistleblowers is Bob Lazar. Now, if you're not privy to Bob Lazar, I could spend episode after episode on Bob Lazar. Bob, if you're watching, think back to the young 18-year-old kid that was talking a lot. I want you on the show. Give me a call. I'm the guy that chewed your ear off. So Bob Lazar, and I didn't know anything about this when I met this person, but he would like opened the can of what was going on in Area 51, which is really, it's Groom Lake. It's Groom Lake. It's about 68, almost 70 miles northeast of Las Vegas. So if you're at Nellis Air Force Base, which is in Las Vegas, you jump on the highway. It's about maybe 2 hours, not even. It's in Rachel, Nevada. Nobody lives there. Maybe like a very, very small people. And then they got the extraterrestrial highway. It's an infamous place. People talk about it. He was speaking in 1970s and 80s about things that people were just like, oh, this guy's insane. But now, and I'm going to get to this in a minute on the show, there are things that he said that now, scientifically, not only have we confirmed this, but we are actually using this technology. And we've even added these things to our science. Our children today that are in grade school, and if they look at the periodical table of elements, which had all the elements in the world, H2O and all the all those codes, he pinpointed something back in the, 70s, 80s, somewhere around there, maybe mid 80s, about a element 115. Which now, three decades later, they said, now he was a nut, they claimed he was a nutcase. Three decades later, in 2003, Russia confirmed that this propulsion, this fuel exists. And now we don't always believe Russia, right? But the world has added it to the periodical table of elements. How did Bob Lazar know what that was three decades ago? Hold on to that thought. We're coming right back after this message. Don't make me send Bob Lazar to look for you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sinati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Did you enjoy your Beam Me Up Scotty moment? Whatever the commercial was, I don't know, but whatever it is, buy it, because we need them to support you. I can fall into a sea hole on this topic. And I am not a ufologist. I am not, I talked to some of the people that are in MUFON and the different programs. I've actually considered getting involved a little bit, because I'm a believer. Are you a believer, Karen? 100% believer that there definitely is?
Yeah, I am. I guess there's no other way to put it.
Yeah. Now here is the pivotal question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to. Do you think they're walking on the earth with us right now?
Yes.
I do too. Here's a little piece of scientific information, and I'm sure I'll get botted and trolled. And again, I don't really care if you do, because you helped me with our rankings. If you bot and troll me anyway, I don't really care. When you click and say stupid things, we get raise our numbers. So say all you like, I don't care. Understand one thing. Let's look at blood types. We know that certain blood types did not exist prior. So there is certain types of blood that are universally good for everybody. That is like that is just like something that's like not like DNA. That is like something seriously different. And they're learning about changes along the way, and there are still mutations occurring. Are we missing? I mean, I think I used a quote once before about space dust. Do you remember that quote? I forgot, it was a while back, but I used a quote, something about we all come from space dust. I mean, have you ever seen a meteor fly in, like, for real and land?
No.
I had the best experience. I mean, I've seen plenty, but I was walking in the neighborhood. It was dark, dark, dark. And I saw this thing, and I tried to catch up to it because it was so low. It lit up like daytime. And it hit somewhere. We couldn't find it in the woods, but it was so amazing. You know, you just have to ask yourself, where are these things coming from? So, Bob, I hope you're listening, Bob Lazar. And then I'm going to be shouting out somebody else in a minute, too. But let's get to the relevant quote of the day. So, two possibilities exist. Either we are alone in the universe, or we are not. Either way, equally terrifying, folks. equally terrifying. Think about it. For one moment, think about that quote. I'm going to say it again. Two possibilities. There's only two things available here. There's no options. It's no A, B, C, and D. This is not like a college exam where you got four choices and you got, you know, a 25% chance of being right. It's either yes or no. So either it is just us and that's it, or there's others out there and we just don't know yet. Either way, it should terrify you. You should be thinking at night, like, wow. I concur with you, Carrie, by the way. I believe they walk the earth. I really do. I think that they walk the earth. I think that they blend in. And I think we might even have like humanoids kind of things. I mean, I don't want to be labeled a conspiracy theorist, but I just think about it a lot. I'm just like, it's just crazy. So that quote came from Arthur C. Clarke. I heard you about to say something. What were we going to say, Carrie?
I was just going to say, have you seen or watched Men in Black?
Yes. And he got the thing and he goes like this. And if you're watching, folks, he holds a pen up, pop, and you're gone. Well, you know what? Here's a great, I got some Men in Black stories. There are actual witnesses who have seen this happen. So they do show up. They do show up. I am not suggesting anybody take a trip to Rachel, Nevada and try to mess. They call them camo dudes. That's their nickname. They don't generally talk to anybody. They're wearing camouflage. They drive around in white pickup trucks. I wouldn't advise getting involved with them. But, you know, yeah, it there's something there. But also, you know, then you have to get your other half of your brain going. Obviously, that SR-71 Blackbird, if it's going to fly that high and have that kind of power, you need a lot of space. And you need to hide it. So, yeah, of course, there are very secret government projects there. Prior to the SR-71, they had the U-2, the U-2 spy plane. Didn't fly nearly as fast. It actually got shot down over Russia. We got a little cocky, thinking that it was flying so high that they couldn't get it. And finally, they did get it one time, and it got shot down. No one's ever touched the SR-71. And there's a great video clip. And it was like a YouTube short. I love it. If you could find it, it would be great. Of Russian fighter jets coming up next to an SR-71 flying. And they're just kind of chilling. And then the SR-71 kind of like says, like, screw you. And it's like shocking. It's kind of like you're stopped. You know, like when you're going so fast in your car, it looks like everybody else is parked on the highway if you're like a speeder kind of person. This SR-71 was flying, and the MiG-29 jets from Russia came up on it in international space. This wasn't an incident of war or anything. And all of a sudden, they showed their power. And it looked like nothing I've ever seen before. This thing it left the fighter jets like they weren't there, like gone. And then it went high, and it was gone. It was just simply amazing. If you can find that, YouTube short is a great one. So anyway, Arthur Clarke is who did the quote. He was a British science fiction writer, and he is famously known for the 2001 Space Odyssey, which, I'm embarrassed. I didn't see it. Did you see it, Gary?
No.
No? I heard everybody talk
about it. I mean, I watched it probably the first time when it first came out, but I never saw it again.
What is it? I don't really know.
Richard Dreyfuss in it, where this saucer comes down and like beams him up? That's the only thing I can remember.
Oh, beam me up, Scotty, again?
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm feeling, Carrie? This is probably going to be a two-part episode. And that's okay, because I'm happy with it. Maybe on this part, too, I can get in touch with Bob or the other person we're going to bring up in a minute. Either way, all of this is mind-boggling, and it's one of these things that, are we ever going to find out in our lifetime? I think, Terry, we might be that generation to find out. I think so. I think that the government is finally slowly releasing more and more information, and again, social media, the internet, people are easier to whistleblow. When Bob Lazar opened and talked about this, they tortured this man. They made him. They did their standard discredit campaign. They discredited him. They even tried to connect him to a prostitution ring. The guy's an astrophysicist. They made his degree and education disappear from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. If you don't know, folks, that's like the Harvard of science. So that's like the best of the best in that. And the fact that he made his paperwork disappear. However, he has documents that he did go there. He also has a pay stub from working at Area 51, Groom Lake, or they would call the Nellis Bomb Range. But anyway, he had a pay stub. And then they try to connect him to things. There's so much crazy stuff. Now, I understand he's working, doing physics at a, like, I don't know what it is specifically, but how does somebody who the government is alleging they don't have this education from MIT, they never worked this job for the government, but he knows a lot of things he shouldn't know. He can say and do things that other people can't do. And then I'm going to still go back and we're going to talk more about this article one, element 115. I mean, come on. I mean, it has to make you ponder. You have to ponder and ask yourself, what did he know? And what are they afraid of that he's going to tell? They've been destroying him for years, but he stood his ground. He stood his ground. He's never wavered. A very good journalist, George Knapp, K-N-A-P-P. He was with, I think, Channel 3. It was in Las Vegas. He took the time to truly spend time with Bob Lazar, and he found him to be credible, and he really ran great stories on it, George Knapp. Really good reporter. Spent a lot of time with him, and he really, really broke into it. So the bottom line, though, no matter which way this goes, it is shaping our world and our existence as we know it. No matter what way this goes, it's shaping. I say, and this is Sinati's humble opinion, I think that what did they say, Carrie? Like, everything in moderation is okay, right? You know,
right.
Drink responsibly in moderation, don't indulge. I think the government is slowly, little by little, giving you bits and pieces. We know that U.S. Navy fighter pilots have now come out and they've been speaking open about this, many interviews, and they have video from inside the fighter jets there. I believe they were flying F-18 Hornets, I believe F-18s. Yeah, pretty sure F-18s. They were off the coast of San Diego, kind of close to Mexico, but in international water. And there's some famous footage. They call it a Tic Tac, and that's kind of the name. And the thing was moving so fast that their heat sensors and their guidance systems could not keep up with it. And then you can hear the conversations between the fighter pilots talking to each other, and them communicating with the control tower back on the ship that they were with. Everybody saw this thing on the radar. They visually saw it. Now, I find it very hard to believe. You want to discredit people. I understand what they do. But here we're talking by ranking people with rank, not just their first day out on a plane and on a fighter jet. These are people that have been doing this for years. This is what they do. They keep us safe. They protect our skies from people. So when they're telling you, this is what I saw, and aerodynamically, this is nothing that we can do, that again should make you ask yourself, what's going on? We're going to take a short break.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back to my spaceship. I'm just kidding, Cloud Controls. I'm not on a spaceship. Talking points and statistics. So it's still going to be fun. We're going to have a good time, but we got to give you some numbers. Because, see, I'm not just going to give you a theory, and I'm not going to give you my opinion or anything. We're going to give you some stuff to back it up. So the Pentagon alleges, and I'm saying alleges, that there's no aliens and there's no evidence of a cover-up. Now, Yeah, actual. Remember I said like one word can change an entire thought and it can change an entire sentence. If you find the context when this was said, they said no evidence of an alien cover-up. Take note to where they placed the word. They didn't say there is no alien. No, they didn't say that. They said there's no evidence of a cover-up. A lot of crimes happen and there's no evidence, but doesn't mean that somebody didn't get murdered, right? Somebody's house got broken into and there's no evidence. Doesn't mean that they didn't get broken into. It's all about the words and the context in which you put them. You need to read between the lines, folks. The Pentagon's latest review claims that there is no direct evidence now. So it had started with no evidence. Now there's no direct evidence of extraterrestrial life or government cover-ups related to UFOs. Okay. Now let's go back to my sandwich related to UFOs. But no, but see, they changed the bread. Same cheese and bologna, fresh bread. Now it's UAPs. So that statement is a great statement. This is kind of the, I can't recall nor deny this guy's existence. I can't recall or deny if he worked here. Well, obviously that means he did. Because otherwise you'd say, hell no, he didn't work here. Or no, this didn't happen. So use your head, folks. I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth. But when you're talking, if you're in a relationship with your significant other, when they're telling you what they did over the weekend and you're questioning where they've been, you know you're looking to see where they place the words in that conversation. Because how they arrange their words is obviously one of my favorite ones. Carrie, you like this. One of my favorite ones is that I am so sorry that you feel that way. I'm not apologizing for what I did. So there it is. But there is a but is that not a good example, Carrie? That just came to mind. It was great. Because sure. I tried that with a girlfriend once and it actually worked for a while until her friend figured it out. Every time we had an argument, I am so sorry that you feel that way. Okay. And I was it. It was over. And we're good. So when the government says to you that there is no credible evidence, no direct evidence, well, no direct, how about indirect evidence? They don't even talk. It's just so much to do here. So despite that, though, 60%, and this is a Gallup poll, very, very, very reputable poll. They do a lot of the presidential and campaign polls. In 2023, we're talking a year ago, folks, 60% of Americans believe the government's hiding information about UFOs, UAPs, whatever you want to call them. More people believe that there are aliens and the government's hiding it than people that actually vote in the election. Think about that. Isn't that crazy? We're lucky if we get 50% of the voters to come out and vote for a presidential election. But we got 60% telling you the government's a liar and it's alien. There is an extreme public interest in this. And I think, like, kind of like I said in the beginning, there's an extreme public interest because it's just something that you can't answer. And everybody wants to know the unknown. I guess when it's kind of like the afterlife. Everybody's like, well, what happens when your heart stops? What do you see? What happens? I guess you're not going to know until it happens. So maybe we'll know. Maybe we won't know. But public interest has increased by 40%. That's a huge number. 40% in the past decade. Folks, if you don't know, decade is 10 years. So if you are just conceptualizing this for a moment, 60% now in 2023, and it went up 40%. I'm going to be a little spoiler here. Don't boo me. Technology has gotten better. Everybody's walking around with a camera now because you got your phone. Whether you have an iPhone, Android, whatever you got, whatever you use, you have a camera. And everybody's got some sort of access to internet, some kind of computer. I believe that also plays a huge role in that increase, uptick of 40%. But I don't think it covers all the 40%. I truly don't think it does. I think the fact that people are opening their eyes and people are saying something is wrong here. And since we have access to information at our fingertips in a second, people just don't want to believe what they see. Now, again, I'm going to remind you, when you go on the internet, make sure you look for credible sites and you read more than one place to make sure you're getting valid information. Now, another one of my favorite people in this area, and I spoke with his secretary just yesterday, Dr. Stephen Greer, G-R, E-E-R. He is a medical doctor. He's from North Carolina, Northern North Carolina, medical doctor. And he is one of the, it's like the modern day Bob Lazar. He's like the Bob Lazar of right now. Dr. Stephen Greer is one of the prominent UFO disclosure advocates out there. He's got documentaries. He has people following him. And you know, you may not believe what you see, but like I said, everything isn't always as it seems. You can't have people that have such good intelligence, good, credible backgrounds. They don't have all kinds of people saying this guy's this and that. When these people are telling you something and then somebody else is adamantly denying it, you know, you have to ask, why adamantly deny? I believe sometimes it's better not to say anything at all. Right, Carrie? Isn't it just better just, right? You're better off when something stupid happens. What do they say? Water off a duck's back, right? Just go forward.
But it's right? So like, much fun. You
know, I get botted and trolled. There's lies every day about me on the internet. And I don't care. If you believe some of that crap, then I need to get you a job on like some kind of like science project show so you can like try to play with stupid things and, you know, because that's about all you're good for. If you believe
you're talking about me, dude.
What?
I said, were you talking about me or what?
No. Come on.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying no. I'm talking about the people that believe the garbage that they see about nobody. But you know, did you know when they discredit like Bob Lazar actually was running a prostitution ring. Yeah, right. That was good, Carrie. That was a good one. I like it.
In your face,
Carrie, on that one. But this Stephen Greer, and I actually posted on social media last week because I have been in communication and I'm working diligently to get him on here. So this may happen, and if not, I may go to another show that he's going to be on and we'll talk. But Dr. Greer has a great, great documentary. It's called The Disclosure Product. It's gathered testimony of over 400, I'm going to say it again, 400 government and military officials who have claimed that there are secret programs that do exist that reverse engineer alien technology. I'm going to say that again. The Disclosure Project. Here's a medical doctor, Dr. Stephen Greer. Very credible. Check out, I posted a video on all my socials the other day. He has testimony of over 400 government and military officials who are claiming under oath that there are secret programs that are reverse engineering alien technology. This is what Bob Lazar said in 1979 and in the 80s. And it does make sense, folks. It makes sense. Why did Abraham Lincoln have to take a horse and buggy back and forth? And that was like 1860s. Well, 100 years later, we're on the moon. And there you go. Literally, right? That was just one of those things that you have to ask yourself. What happened that we were doing horse and buggy? We didn't have sewage. We didn't have proper sewage. People were literally using buckets to urinate and whatever, and they would dump it out their window. And literally, you didn't walk close to houses because people dumped it out their window. Insane. That's what they did in the 1800s. And you go from that 100-year span, and now we're doing, we're flying at 3,000 miles an hour or more at 90,000 feet or higher. It just doesn't add up. And then, boom, we got iPhones that can facial recognize. We got chat bots that have conversations with you, and you actually like fall in love with your computer because it says what you want to hear that your girlfriend won't say. So I mean, it's just kind of crazy stuff. You just have to. And I watched, and I truly did watch all of his stuff, and I'm fascinated by it. So could these claims be true, or is it just another layer of mythology designed to distract us from the truth? Now, here's a good point. We're going to take a short break, and I'm going to come back and tell you the other side of the coin, because I always try to get both sides. Don't go anywhere, because you want to hear the other side.
Hey, it's Eric A. Sinatti, host of two syndicated talk shows on iHeartRadio. When I need a sharp look, I head to Quick Cuts. Susan, the owner, always nails it perfect every time. Mention Eric sent you, she'll give you a special deal. Call 910-371-5510 to book now.
You're back for the truth, folks. What are we all seeking in life? We're seeking light, guidance, and truth. And here we're going to pull back that veil, and we're going to do it. So now on the flip side, and don't I give you both sides. Now, I've made it very clear what my opinion is. I don't generally do that on some of the political stuff. And I don't really care about this, what you think, I think. So my side is I'm on the UFO, unidentified aerial phenomenon, whatever you want to call it. I believe this is real. I'm willing to walk outside, but there is another point that you must understand that does play into Groom Lake, aka Area 51, aka Nellis bombing range, whatever. That was picked because it was such a smooth, dry, it was a dried up lake. You know, the earth shifts, things change. It was a lake. It was flat. So they could build, and it was surrounded by mountains, which is perfect for the government to practice its secret stuff. You know, like, and the famous Manhattan Project was when we were learning how to, the United States was building the nuclear bomb. They detonated tons of things out there in the middle of nowhere, and they were surrounded by mountains. Interesting point enough on that, though. They extended the space of Groom Lake, which I don't know the year, but I'm going to get it for you. They had certain mountain peaks that John Q. Public could go and walk around because it is your land, my land. And that was the song, right? Your land is my land, right? Whatever. But truly, it is government land, but they took it from you and made a base out of it. Now, they originally had this perimeter on these mountains. Then they extended it and they took over more space. Why? You got to ask yourself why. Why'd they do that? What was going on that they were so afraid that even at that peak of the mountain, you're talking miles away. I got an opportunity to look through a telephonic lens that somebody had set up on a peak out there. And it was actually like a telescope that this engineer, so it was good. It was a telescope meant to look at stars. And you could go on one of these mountain peaks. I'm not going to say the name because now it's a restricted area. But at that time, it was not. And at the top of that peak, you can look through this actual telescope. And he attached a camera to it. And you could see what was there. Now, it had all the like haziness on it from the heat coming off the earth and stuff. But you could see something. You could see things, some stuff that was going on. That mountain peak is now taken over by the government. And trust me, what you could see through that little tele lens, whatever it's called, whatever. I don't know the guy's name, so don't bot and troll me. And if I did, I'm not going to tell you. Freedom of the press, folks. I don't have to tell you. He's the source. So the fact is that, like, you can see, so they took that land. You got to ask yourself why. Why do they do that? And then, now here's the other flip side, folks. When the government has, like, this SR-71, the Strategic Reconnaissance 71 Blackbird, or the U-2 spy plane, or the, you know, the stealth fighter, they test these things. They have to, obviously. And they need to test them in a wide space, because they crash. These things crash, right? They're not sure if it's going to work. Pilots eject, whatever. And they have to do kinds of crazy maneuvers. So, yes, absolutely, that it was very convenient. And I'm going to say for the convenience of the government, and those of you who have worked in the government, you know what I mean when I say the convenience of government. But the convenience of the government, it was really good for them, for people to believe that these are spaceships, aliens. And they kind of went with kind of like the weather balloon theory with Roswell, when clearly there was no weather balloon, because I'll tell you why. When we saw China's weather balloon, everybody could see it. But this one in Roswell, nobody saw that until it fell on the ground. Boom. I just made people's mind boggle. They carry. That was good, right? I just threw that right out. That just came to me. It was like, right. I literally, that's not my notes, folks. I was thinking about it as I was talking. You ever think and you think of something more and you actually get more thought and you're, as you're thinking? And I'm like, if we, that was a Chinese spy balloon, and they alleged it was a weather balloon, right? That's what they said. But it really wasn't. We know that. They shot that off the coast of Myrtle Beach, shot it down. If that was a weather balloon, then you were able to see that. Nobody saw this thing until it crashed. I don't know. You ponder that thought. So, but it was for the convenience of the government and for the good of American people. I am not saying the government is out to get us. I'm not. And please do not think that I'm saying that. We have secrets, national security secrets, for a reason. And there's like two, there's basically really two major reasons. Reason A, or one, is we don't want our adversaries, bad actors, and nation states that want to hurt us to know what our technology is and what our systems are and what it is that we can and can't do, our capabilities. And reason number two, folks, they don't want to alarm people in the public. You know, too much information, information overload is a really bad thing. And I think that's kind of what we were talking about in a couple episodes about way too much information in your face. So I think the combination between them testing the U-2 spy plane and the SR-71 Blackbird, and I'm going to bring it on. I have a model one in my office. I'm going to bring it on the show. One of the finest jets. Ever. If you're a New Yorker, I'm a Jersey guy, head to the Intrepid on the Hudson River, on Henry Hudson Highway, straight down, go to the Intrepid, it's an aircraft carrier. They actually have an SR-71 on the Intrepid. You can check it out. Very, very cool. They also have a shuttle there too, a space shuttle. And I was actually there when they brought that in. It was very, very cool. They put it on top of a plane to bring it in. But anyway, so it did work. It did serve a purpose. It did serve a purpose because they were able to say, yeah, space, space, space. And they let the news media run wild with it. Meanwhile, we were actually testing a jet when no one else even had, they were running propellers on it, most of it stuff. And here we are, this jet's going to do allegedly 3,000 miles an hour. So yes, it did work out. And I'm sure a lot of people in Rachel, Nevada and Las Vegas was 68 miles or so, southwest. They have to see these things. Edwards Air Force Base and Nellis Air Force Base. Edwards is on the edge of California and Nellis is on the edge by Arizona and it's in Nevada. Both of them kind of work together with similar projects. And that's about as far as I'm going to go with that information. So you might have seen something going from Nellis out to Edwards and vice versa. And if it was doing, you look in the sky and you see a plane and it goes, fast. And then all of a sudden you see the thing across the sky. You're like, what is that? It must be an alien. It probably was the SR-71 being tested. So yes, that was a great cover for us. And I think it worked out for America well, because the SR-71 was a savior for America because we were able to completely map the Soviet Union. By the time they didn't even catch the SR-71 on a radar, and it had cleared the entire country, and it was able to take photographs and read a newspaper. Think about this in the 50s and 60s. It's just mind-boggling. So this is going to have to be a two-part episode, folks. We've never done that before, but I'm excited about it. I'm just going to move into one last part, and then I'm going to leave you on a hangnail. Maybe that'll raise our numbers, Gary, because people are like, we have to come back now. And I'm going to try to get, Bob, I'm going to call you again. Answer the phone. And Stephen, Dr. Stephen Greer, I'm going to call you back. We're going to make this happen. So Bob Lazar, again, he said this element 115 was the connection to aliens. Fascinating enough, Bob Lazar, they say he claimed that he worked in reverse engineering. He knows things that you should not know. Anybody that kind of knows something, when people use certain terminology, when people refer to certain things and they say it a certain way, it's kind of like subliminal communication. You know, I'm talking to somebody and I'm really telling them something else about somebody, and the other person standing there and we're having another conversation. You don't know it. When people hear what Dr. Stephen Greer said, And Bob Lazar, and if you know, and if you have an inkling or you were involved in anything that had remotely, you know that what they're saying, they shouldn't be saying, or they shouldn't know. With that, I'm going to come to the end of this and then we're going to have to have a Carrie, we're going to have to do a two-parter. How do you feel about that?
Awesome.
We've never had a two-week continued. I hate these two weekends. But at least, folks, you don't have to wait long. You come back tomorrow. So Bob Lazar, I'm going to leave you on this note, and I want you folks to research this. Element 115, and I'm not even going to pronounce what it's called now because I don't have a clue, but the little code for it is MC. In the little parentheses, it's MC. That now is recognized. How did he know that in the 80s, 90s? How did he know that? It's not possible. They said it didn't exist, yet it does. This is where the to be continued comes. We're going to fast forward right to 2016, and now your head's going to fall off tomorrow when I tell you what happened in 2016. Once again, thank you for coming to Hostile Zone. This is a to be continued. So don't go anywhere. To be continued. I'm excited to have you back tomorrow. I'm going to bring on set the SR-71 that I have in my office. It's really, really cool. Carrie, anything to add in you want to say? They help get the crowd ready for part two tomorrow?
No.
I got caught you there.
I'm sorry.
I got you. Because you're like the rest of the listeners right now. They're like, wow, this is insane, huh? And we're not becoming a conspiracy show. This is real. This stuff is real. The feds raided this guy's house. Why? Why would the government put resources into him like that? Maybe he knew something. That's all I'm going to say, folks. Don't go anywhere. Miss Bianca's going to close us out with her angelic space sound voice. Maybe we can give a little space spooky sound before. But either way, God bless America. Miss Bianca's going to close us out with honor, pride, and glory. Good night, America. Thank you for coming to Hostile Zone. I'm Eric A. Sinati, and I'm on your side. See you tomorrow night.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, get through the night, that our flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner